Katie, just put in context for people. How good is Maya Moore, and what does it mean that someone like her walked away from the game?
Maya Moore is one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Katie Barnes is a writer for ESPNW.
She won 4 WNBA championships in 8 years with the Lynx.
Here is Moore. Moore dance! That's it! Title number 4 for the Minnesota Lynx dynasty!
She won a WNBA MVP. She's got 2 national championships at UConn.
Moore creating her own shot and knocks it down. 78-0. Connecticut has won the national championship again.
She's 2 Olympic gold medals, and she's played in multiple world championships.
The United States women's Olympic basketball team showing perfection here in Rio.
She's done everything on the court that can be done by any basketball player. And she gave all of it up to help get someone out of prison. I don't like comparing women and men, but it is like Michael Jordan walking away in 93. It was sudden, unexpected. It's an amazing story and one that I never expected to happen.
In 2019, Maya Moore's decision to put her superstar career on hold shocked the basketball world.
It can definitely be surprising and shocking, but sometimes I think we get confused in thinking where impact really lies.
Today, Katie Barnes takes a deeper look at why she did it, how her action resonates with the NBA and other players in this moment, and whether Maya Moore's hiatus will ever end.
We need to look at what matters most, which is each other and humanity and protecting people and loving people.
I'm Mina Kimes. It's Thursday, June 18th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. Katie, let's start here. When and how did Maya Moore first announce she was stepping away from the game?
You know, it came in a Players Tribune announcement that was very vague in February of 2019.
One of the greatest basketball players in the world will not be playing in the WNBA this season. Maya Moore announcing today that she wants to focus on her family and some ministry dreams.
Saying on the Players Tribune, quote, "I measure success by asking, am I living out my purpose?" Close quote.
Just a little post that just announced that she was taking the season off to pursue greater ministry things that had been heavy on her heart. And for months, no one really knew what that meant.
The title of that piece was The Shift. And you're right, it's short and kind of mysterious. What was the immediate reaction to it?
Oh, I mean, women's basketball Twitter melted. Right? I mean, this is Maya Moore. If she doesn't play another minute of basketball, she's in the conversation for greatest of all time in women's basketball. And, you know, she was only 29 at the time. People were just absolutely flabbergasted. No one knew if that meant she retired, if she was coming back, if she just needed a season off. It's not necessarily unusual for great players to take time off in the W, especially since so many of them do play overseas and play year-round. But it was really surprising because there wasn't a very concrete reason given, nor was there a timetable for her return.
What makes her such a great player?
I mean, it's impossible not to love watching her play. And it's so simple, but she's so fluid. She's got an amazing jump shot. You know, she will take you up like one-on-one. She'll just like hit a trail three and it just makes you want to weep tears of joy as a basketball fan.
Gets it to Moore. Moore will get it off. The shot is good. Game 3 belongs to Maya Moore and Minnesota.
She's so versatile. She can play 4 positions and guard 4 positions. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. her jump shot is truly magnificent as someone who grew up in Indiana. So I know a good jump shot when I see one.
What happened next?
Well, you know, she goes on this journey that it really encompasses an entire year. She takes many, many trips back to Jefferson City, a town that she spent the first 10 years of her life in. She's trying to get this man, Jonathan Irons, who has spent 22 years in prison, and she believes that he's wrongfully convicted and is trying to get him out. She's going to courtrooms and hearings, and she'd fly from Atlanta sometimes for 5 minutes in a courtroom.
Who is Jonathan Irons, and how did Maya's family know him?
Jonathan Irons is a man who was convicted in 1998 of essentially burglary and assault with a deadly weapon. And the Morris family came to know him really through her great uncle, Hugh Flowers. He was volunteering in the prison that Jonathan was being held at as a choir director. And Jonathan loves to sing. That's something that both he and Maya share. And he met Hugh and basically asked him to stand in for his own father because Jonathan never knew his father. And so Hugh said, absolutely, I will be this caretaker for you, and introduced Jonathan to his son-in-law, Reggie, who is Maya's godfather. And that really started this decades-long investment from Maya Moore's family into the story of this man.
Why was he in prison?
So back in early 1997, Jonathan Irons was arrested for burglary and assault with a deadly weapon. The detective at the time said that Jonathan had confessed, but there was no written record of that confession. There was no DNA, no fingerprints. They never found the actual gun that was used in the case. But through circumstantial evidence, he was convicted for those crimes and sentenced to 50 years in prison in 1998.
50 years?
50 years. And he was 16.
When did Moore learn about his situation?
Around the time that she was a senior, she became alerted to Jonathan's case by her godfather, Reggie. She went to go see Jonathan in prison that summer and then went off to UConn, but continued to be involved in his case. And that involvement only grew and deepened over time.
So how did Maya Moore get involved?
While she became interested in the case, it was something that she continued to do in private in terms of have those conversations with her family. As I think, you know, you look at 2016 and what happened in terms of the protests against police brutality and specifically the killing of Philando Castile in Minneapolis and Alton Sterling in Louisiana, you know, Maya felt really empowered and felt a duty to speak out publicly about these issues. And so the following year in 2017 is when we really start to see her take a more active role in talking about this case. I think she felt stronger and much more pulled and called to take deeper and deeper action. And a lot of that is derived from her own faith. She's a very faithful person, a very strongly identified Christian.
The more you read, the more you see how much God cares about people who have the least amount of power in society. And that gives me encouragement to know that we are moving in the same flow of what God cares about very much.
And as she became more and more pulled over time, I think all coupled with her athletic exhaustion, she felt that she needed to put everything that she had into this.
As much as sometimes I think this world tells us you can do it all and you can be whatever you want to be. And you just look up and you're like, but I'm barely hanging on. And so I had to kind of sit back and say, okay, let's breathe. I'm leading too many things. So Lord, help me let go of some of these things that I really love.
So how has she spent that time working on his case?
Jonathan's case had been bounced around over the course of the last 15 years, whether it was the Innocence Project had it for a bit, other advocacy organizations had it for a bit, but it hadn't really culminated to anything. And you know, you look at the key fact of the case when it comes to this piece of evidence that Reggie found in 2007, but it took 12 of those years before Johnson was even able to get back into a courtroom and present his case. And that was only allowed to happen because Maya Moore committed resources in terms of financial support. She secured defense attorneys for him and also committed her own platform.
Hello, everyone. My name is Maya Moore, and I'm here to ask you to join me in demanding a fair trial for Jonathan Irons, who has been wrongfully incarcerated since 1997.
Bringing whatever media attention she could to the case in the hopes that that would push the system to give Jonathan another chance.
I'm dedicating my life to freeing Jonathan the same way I dedicated myself to each game in the WNBA. And it's why I need your help today. Will you stand with me and demand that new evidence be considered?
After the break, let's look at the current state of Jonathan's case and what it means for a player as dominant as Maya Moore to step away from the game. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Katie, this past March, Maya and her family helped Jonathan clear a key hurdle in his fight for freedom. Judge Daniel Green ruled that during the initial trial, the prosecution had violated Irons' constitutional rights by withholding exculpatory evidence.
I have had a chance to review all the pleadings and the evidence taken in the case. This court will issue a judgment granting petitioner a conditional writ of habeas corpus and orders that his convictions be vacated and the petitioner be discharged from custody.
I just witnessed Jonathan Irons' conviction being overturned by Judge Green in the Cole County Courthouse in Jefferson City, Missouri.
But he's still not actually free yet. Explain what's going on now and what happens next.
He waits. The state of Missouri is appealing. They're taking every single day within their allotted time to push the system forward further. And so they have filed a motion for transfer to the Missouri Supreme Court. If that motion is denied, they will have 10 days to decide whether or not they're going to try him again. And if they pass on that opportunity, then he will be a free man.
23 years.
23
years of lies.
I'm free.
Hopefully, really, really soon, we can see Jonathan walk out of those doors.
Maya Moore's commitment to social justice precedes her decision to step away from basketball by years. Before she left the game, she led her team, the Minnesota Lynx, in an on-court protest back in 2016, that pivotal year. How have WNBA players in general led the way on this?
WNBA players have been at the forefront on a number of issues, including discussions about racial justice, but also LGBTQ inclusion, as well as talking about gun violence. There are so many issues that WNBA players have led the way on. And it's not just the stars. It's whole teams taking stands. You look back at the photos from 2016, and there were entire teams taking stances for racial justice, hashtag Black Lives Matter, in ways that we have just not seen reflected in men's sports at all.
The Lynx played at Target Center Saturday night during a week of racial tension. The players wearing warm-up jerseys that were protesting deaths of two black men killed by police.
We're highlighting a longtime problem of racial profiling and unjust violence against blacks in our country.
And so the unity of the WNBA is really interesting on a lot of these topics, and that they largely stand together and are really a role model for what solidarity looks like in practice.
We spoke a little bit about how rare it is for a player of her caliber to put her career on pause and step away. What else in your mind do you think sets her story apart?
I think the magnitude of the sacrifice, in that you look at, you know, possible counterparts in terms of achievement in the NBA who could have done something like this. You know, I think LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Westbrook, et cetera, where the cultural significance of it would have outweighed hers because, of course, men's sports are more popular. But the resources that they would have been able to bring to the table are considerable. Now, Steph Curry can not play in a season and not get paid, and it not necessarily fundamentally hurt his bottom line. For Maya Moore, it's a big deal. For her not to play multiple WNBA seasons and multiple seasons overseas, that's a serious hit to her own revenue. And that just cannot be overstated in this situation. She had a lot to lose personally, and has given up a lot. And I don't think that we have seen another individual player make such a tremendous financial sacrifice in addition to athletic sacrifice.
It's also unusual insofar as how personal it was for her, this particular decision and story.
Yeah, she will talk about criminal justice broadly in terms of reforms that need to happen. But at every point that she's asked about what her next step is in terms of her advocacy, she always comes right back to Jonathan to highlight how personal this story is for her, how personal his story is and her commitment to him is, and how that will remain the focus of her commitment moving forward. As she talks about criminal justice, she often will say, "The best thing I can do for this movement is to continue to tell Jonathan's story well." There was this moment in the October hearing where Jonathan just started to cry. He was audibly sobbing in the courtroom. And Maya was very affected by it. She was holding back her own tears and her own emotions at that moment. And when I asked her about it later,
I just wanted to know, you know, what was going through your mind as that was happening in the room today?
It's a lot of emotions. I think number one of just being heartbroken that we can't console him as a part of our family. Also just anger of, it's been 23 years for that evidence to finally be talked about in the light, in the right way.
It's not just about justice for this person that she doesn't know. It's justice for a member of her family. And that's just always hard, I think.
Last year, Maya Moore did an interview on Outside the Lines, and people who ask why she would step away from such an incredible career in her prime to work on this rather than using basketball as a platform, she said,
"People that know me actually aren't really asking me that question. People that know me really well say it totally makes sense of what I'm doing and the direction that I'm moving."
What do you think she meant by that?
I think what she meant is that they, one, know how strong her faith is. And so whatever her faith calls her to do, she does without question, number one. The second is that Maya is an extremely focused person. And so whatever is getting her attention gets her full attention. She doesn't split focus well. And the third is that the reality is, when it comes to basketball, she's achieved almost everything that you could ever hope to achieve as a player. At this point, she's just collecting multiples. She has an MVP. She has lots of championships. So if she's feeling like she can't give her full focus to something that she feels called to do, what is there to keep her other than I suppose money, which for Maya doesn't seem to be something that particularly drives her. She's much more likely to do something that she does feel called and moved to do by God. I think for people that are close to her, they know all of those things. And it's not really a question. It's those of us who are fans of the game who want to watch her all the time and feel deprived of that, that are asking those questions.
Sometimes I think we get confused in thinking where impact really lies. A lot of times impact is more with the people that you're actually living life with and around. I think there's a place for all of it, kind of the big kind of surface impact, but then there's that deep rooted impact that has been so meaningful to me this year.
So as you mentioned, Maya Moore is skipping the 2020 WNBA season. But now that Jonathan Irons, his conviction's been overturned, granted he is still waiting for his release, do you think that she's going to come back to the game at some point?
I really don't know. And what's interesting to me is that no one around her feels very confident in answering that question either way. I know that as a fan of women's basketball, I hope we get to see her play again. But I really, even after spending almost a year of reporting this story, I feel like I'm no closer to answering that question.
I feel privileged to be able to walk with Jonathan and use my voice for people like him. It's just an honor. And it's been hard. It's been challenging, but it's so worth it. So we are, I think, more of who we were created to be now than we were before we entered into this journey, and definitely have no regrets.
At the moment, there's this tremendous swell of athlete activism, attention on racism, policing, criminal justice. Colin Kaepernick, who made his own sacrifice after kneeling during the national anthem in 2016 and has not played football since then. You've got NBA players discussing in open whether they should step away from the game this season. How do you see Maya Moore's story fitting in?
Maya really was a trailblazer, I think, in terms of not just donating money, not just saying the right things, but really role modeling action. And in that sense, I think a lot of NBA players have looked to her and seen what she's done and asked themselves, well, what am I going to do?
I have felt actually a little more prepared for this moment because of where I was being led a couple of years ago. I'm hoping I can continue to be a voice that points us to the amazing place we can get to as we invest in recreating our new normal, because our old normal was broken.
And in that sense, her legacy is just unparalleled in our modern era. I even put it right next to Colin Kaepernick's in terms of the scope of her platform and what she was able to do as someone who doesn't receive the attention of an NFL athlete or an NBA athlete, and how that has rippled out through the sports world and society at large.
We have a chance. Like, this is unbelievable. We have a chance to really take this time and energy to recreate something more beautiful.
Thanks so much, Katie.
Thanks for having me, Mina.
Coming up, for fans of Major League Baseball, some hope that a season might actually happen. Here's a number I want you to know. 60 That's the number of games in MLB's latest proposal, which comes after Commissioner Rob Manfred met with MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark this week, a rendezvous that took place not long after Manfred went on SportsCenter and walked back his 100% guarantee that the season would happen, a statement that drove fear into the hearts of baseball fans everywhere. For those people, this latest development is good news. Not because of the number of games, which is probably going to change, but because MLB has conceded the players will receive full prorated pay, which of course is what the two sides initially agreed to back in March. According to our reporters, the proposal would have the season beginning on July 19th. It includes an expanded playoff format and would ask the union to waive their right to file a grievance. Now, this is all just a starting point. One imagines the players would like to play more games. It remains to be seen if the owners will let them. But the fact that it emerges from an actual in-person meeting, and it's not just a contentious exchange on Twitter, well, that suggests an actual season could be on deck. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.